Today's shir is Masechta Erev in Daf Pei. We will begin on Daf Pei Amud Aleph at the end of the fourth line. In our previous shir, at the end of the shir, Rabbi Yehuda taught us that when we are making, when somebody's being mezaka, somebody's taking ownership in Erev on behalf of all the other people that he wants to make, that Ruvi Chatzeris, the Shtuf Mevas, on their behalf, he has to be mezaka. That means instead of collecting matzah, challah for the Ruvi Chatzeris, the food for the Shtuf Mevas, from every individual separately, what he does is that he takes his box of matzahs, and he says, he takes someone else, and tells that individual, please pick up this box of matzahs on behalf of all the other people who will be relying on the Seiruf. And Rabbi Yehuda taught us that when that act of zikui, of being mezak on behalf of someone else, is done, the way it's done, said Rabbi Yehuda, was by picking it up a tefach. Ask the Gemara, there's a braisa. Ask the Gemara, meisvei, keitzad mishtatim mavoi. How do we do shtufim mavos? Says the braisa, v'in chovish shal yayin, we bring a barrel of wine, or shal shemen, of oil, or shal tamarim, of figs, or shal groigris, or shal kavminei pranius, any other type a fruit that one of the people who live in this mavoi is contributing on behalf of all the other people in the mavoi, imishaloi, and if it's his fruit that he's using for everybody else, tsarach lazakis, he has to have somebody else to take ownership of these payers on their behalf, vimishalahem, but if he's using their fruit, tsarach laidia, he has to notify them that he's using their fruit. Because on one hand, since the fruit belongs to them, so the need for being mezakeh for them is not a factor. But what we do have to do is let them know, because I can't use somebody else's article without their permission, obviously. And if they don't want to contribute, I can't, the shtufim mevos would not be valid. We have to get their buy-in. When he's using his own food, and as we keep on repeating, this what he's doing and donating his food for them, he's doing them a favor. Zachal Adam Shaloi Befanov. But here, if I'm using my own, so each method comes with its own advantages and disadvantages. On one hand, if I'm using my own fruit, so therefore I don't have to notify them because I'm doing them a favor. However, even though I don't have to notify them because I'm doing them a favor, I do have to have this process, this procedure being mezaket. On the other hand, if I am using their fruit, I may not use that without their permission. Now, continues the braisa, when we're being mezaka on their behalf, magbia on the karka mashu. So it says here that a mashu is sufficient. Rabbi Yehuda said that we have to pick it up at tefach. Answers the Gemara, my mashu nami the kamar. When he uses the word mashu, what he actually meant was a tefach. So there's no contradiction. It's always a tefach. Itmar, says the Gemara, shtufim mevos. When it comes to making shtufim mevos, and actually, this halacha that we're about to learn also applies to Ruvi Chatzeris. Rav Omar ain't tzarich lezakis. Rav says that we don't even have to go through this procedure being mezakah. He says, since the halacha is that you can't carry in the mavi, you can't carry in the chotzer without this Ruvi Chatzeris, without the shtufim mevos, so the fact that I am contributing this on your behalf, so that I and everybody else here, but we're focused on me, can now be able to carry. The fact that I can now be able to carry does a big favor for everybody else. So the way I understand what Rashi, Devar Maskel Rav Chiya, Tosfos, Devar Maskel Rav, mean to say, is throughout Shas, what is the reason we speak very often we need to have a kinyan to affect a transaction? Why did Chazal require a kinyan? Because when we have a kinyan, there's a gemira stas. it shows that we're serious about this transaction. Here, since I have so much to gain from the Shtufim Mevaros and Aruva Chatzeres, without this, we cannot carry. So therefore, that Hanor, that benefit that I'm getting, is enough that I shouldn't have to have another Kenyan. That's the opinion of Rashi and Tosfos. Rashba takes a different approach. The Rashba's approach is, as we keep on repeating, the entire concept of Ruvi Chatzeris and Shtufim Avos are only mid Rabbanon, and therefore, even though normally to affect the transaction, we indeed have to have a full-fledged Kenyan, here Chazal waived the need for a Kenyan. Along the same line, I saw from the Ritva, he says, normally when does a Kenyan required? Well, we want to have a transfer of ownership. Something till now was mine, it's going to become yours, vice versa. We're going to form a partnership. Here, it's not a regular business transaction where somebody's buying, where there's buying and selling. We're just creating this halachic concept of a Ruvi Chatzeres and Shtufim Mevaros, and therefore, since it's only needed to create a halachic concept, even though throughout everywhere else, of course, a Kenyan is required, here a Kenyan would not be required. And in fact, the Tosfos Rosh makes a very interesting observation. He says, the machlokes, this very fundamental machlokes, which we are now learning of Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara chose to teach us this machlokes by Shtufim Avos, not by Ruvi Chatzeres. But as we started this piece of Gemara, I immediately said that whatever the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel is, the machlokes is not just by Shtufim Avos, the machlokes is by Ruvi Chatzeres as well. So ask the Tosfos Rosh, why did the Gemara choose to teach it this machlokes by Shtufim Avos? So he says, Erev Chatzeres, we've mentioned this concept previously, was something that they needed much more than Shtufim Avos. Because in the world that they lived, everybody carried out, a lot of their living was actually done in the chatzar. So since a lot of their living was done in the chatzar, so of course a person is very anxious to have a Ruvi Chatzeres. And because they're so anxious to have a Ruvi Chatzeres, that's why it's effective. That's why we say that anything will make it effective. However, B'shtufim Avos, which wasn't as necessary for the way they lived, maybe there we can't. Even Rav would agree that a Kenyan is required. Says the Tosfos Rosh that given the various svaros that we just explained in Rav, why Rav says a Kenyan isn't required, and not only does Rav applying those svaros by the Chatzeres, but Rav is applying those svaros even by a Movi. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel disagrees, and Shmuel holds Tzorach Lazakis. Simple, because it's a transaction. It's a Kenyan. And a Kenyan always requires if I'm doing something on your behalf, I have to be mezakeh on your behalf. What about Erev Tchumim? So now the Gemara says, well, Erev Tchumim, the opinions are just the opposite. But Erev Tchumim, Rav Amitzarach Lazakis, I have to be mezakeh. If I'm putting down an Erev Tchumim for somebody else, I am not doing him a total favor. Why am I not doing a total favor? Because as we've always described when we speak about Hilchas Erev Tchumim, whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in another direction. So it isn't just something that I'm doing which is totally to the benefit of the person I'm putting it down. And therefore, I have if it's going to work, it has to work with the proper halachic procedures. Shmuel Amar Ein Tzarach Lazakos, there is no requirement. And why indeed does Shmuel take a stricter opinion by Ruvi Chatzeres versus Shtufim versus the Ruvi Tchumim? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that what does a Ruvi Chatzeres accomplish? What does Shtufim Avos accomplish? That we're all together, we're all connected. That's by that. So to form that type of a relationship, you have to have a kenyan. Erev Tchumim is only to be kind of shvisa. And since it's only to be kind of shvisit, so it doesn't create a physical, monetary connection, and therefore it's not required. Another pshat is that by Erev Tchumim, we spoke about this, The halacha is you're only allowed to make an eruv techumim letzarech mitzvah. Eruv chatzeres shtufim mevas don't have that limitation. So therefore, since it's only done letzarech mitzvah, Chazal were also lenient that you don't have to have a kinyan. And a third pshat I saw is that even if though we're learning that by eruv techumim Shmuel says you don't have to be mezaka, certainly I can't put down. And we'll discuss this in our shiur today. We can't put down a eruv techumah on behalf of someone else without their permission and consent. So says Shmuel, since I have already received their permission and consent, there's no need to do any more. However, when we speak about a eruvei chatzeris and a shtuf mevas, so since it's a schus on their behalf, so I don't have to get their consent. Since I don't have to get their consent, Therefore, I would at least have to be mezaka on their behalf. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'Shmuel, we could understand what Shmuel says. The Hocha Tanan, our Mishnah by Shtuf Mevoz says that you have to be mezaka. The Hocha by Erev Tchumim, there is no Mishnah that says that you have to be mezaka. Loi Tanan. So the Mishnayis are very much in line with the opinion of Shmuel. Ella, L'Rav, but how do we understand Rav's opinion, my tama? How does Rav take this lenient approach by Eruv Chatzeres Shtufim Mevos, and why does he take this stricter approach by Eruv Techumim? Says the Gemara, Tanoihi. So, says the Gemara, that's actually Machlokes Tanoim. And the way most Rishonim explain, when the Gemara is saying it's a Machlokes Tanoim, what the Gemara actually means to say is that Rav, Tanu Palug. Rav, under certain circumstances in Shas, is considered a Tana. This is one of those situations, and therefore he has a right to argue. Damar Yudam Rav, Masa Bekalosoi Shrabaishia. There was a story with the daughter-in-law of Rabaishia. Shochel Beisa Merchatz. She went to the bathhouse, which was outside of the Tchum of a city. V'choshkoloi. And now Shabbos began. V'rivalei Chamaisa. And her mother-in-law, seeing that she now will be stuck because she's so far away from the city, and she put down an Erev Techumim on her behalf without her knowing. And then they came to ask Rav Chiya, is this a valid Erev Techumim? He said, no, since it was put down on without her consent, we can't rely on it. You people who come from Bevel, are you taking this strict approach? Kachama Abba, hasn't my father Rabbi Yossi taught us? Kol sheyesh l'hakel be'erven hakel. We always take a lenient approach in Hilchas Erven. V'bailhu, and understanding why Rav Chiya did not want her to rely on this Erev. We needed to try to understand why not. Was it Mishum Chamais Ervela? Her mother-in-law used her own food to make the Erev Techumim on behalf of her daughter-in-law. But the problem was, Mishum Delay Zuchsala, she didn't go through the procedure of being Mazaka the Erev on her behalf. And according to this, explained the Rishonim, had her mother-in-law realized that she just has to be Mazaka on her behalf, that would have been enough. She just didn't know that, and that's why it became disqualified. Aydilma, Mishla Ervela, the mother-in-law actually used the daughter-in-law's food. So that wasn't the problem. But since this Erev was put down without the knowledge and consent of the daughter-in-law, an Erev Tchumim that's put down in that way cannot be effective. And there was one of the Rabbanon who were there when this question was posed. For Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, his name was Rabbi Yaakov, and he said, I heard from Rabbi Yochanan why Rabbi Chiya said that this Erev is not a good Erev. Mishum Chamois Arva, the problem was that it was the mother-in-law's food, or Mishum Delay Zichsala, because she didn't make the food her, the daughter-in-law's food. So what do we see? That the problem is that she was a mezaka in that food. So we see clearly that when it comes to Erev Techumim, you have to be mezaka in the food on behalf of whom you're making the Erev. And Rav is following that opinion. So that's why we find the Rav was machmir be'erev tchumim. On the other hand, the opinion that Rav said, as we learned, that by shtupim vaz, this is not required, even though our Mishnah clearly indicated that it is required. So as we said before, our Rav Tanahu Upalik, Rav is a Tana, and he has a right to disagree with our Mishnah. So the halacha indeed is, however, that by shtufim vos, the halacha is that you have to be mezakim. The Paiskim discuss, we know we've discussed, that before somebody puts down an Erev, he makes a bracha, asher kirishonu b'mitzvoyso v'tzivonu al mitzvos Erev. The halacha is, when, if you're being mezaka on behalf of other people, when do you do the, what's done first? Do we do the zikui first, or do we do the bracha first? It seems that most poskim are of the opinion that you make the bracha first. Also, on the opposite, you make the zikui first, because then you want to make that the bracha should not just be a my eruv, but it should be an eruv for everyone. Furthermore, the poskim point out that let's say it's an eruv yontif, and I'm making an Erev Chatzeres and Erev Tavshilin, we can make one bracha for both. Says the Gemara, Amalei Reb Zeira, the Reb Yaakov, the bra, the Bas Yaakov. Reb Zeira said to the Reb Yaakov, who was the son of Bas Yaakov, Rashi explains that this person didn't have such a father who acted appropriately, and therefore, since his father didn't act appropriately, even though normally somebody's called by his father's name, here he was called by his mother's name. But I did see from the Tshuva Sagoinim, it's not necessary that we should say that his father wasn't a good person. His father actually might have been a good person, just his mother was much more than the father. And since the mother was a much greater individual than the father, he was called on his mother's name. Amalei Reb Zeira L'Reb Yaakov Bar D'Bas Yaakov, Kimatis L'Hasam, when you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, Akif Vazil Summa the Tsar. Please go to Summa the Tsar, Ubaimine, and ask them the following question. If ask Baimine Rav Yaakov Idi, ask Rav Yaakov Idi, who lived there, this question. Why did Rav Chia disallow the Erev Tchumim that was made by the mother in law for the daughter in law? Baimine, so the question was asked, and it was asked, like we just learned, was it because Mishal Chameisa Erva, the mother-in-law was using her own food, and the problem was Mishum Delay Zichsala, she wasn't mazakin the food on behalf of her daughter-in-law, or maybe the issue was Mishalah Erva, they used the daughter-in-law's food, and the issue with the Erva was Mishum Delay Medata. It was used without her permission and consent. Amalei, so he told Mishal Chameisa Erva La, they used the mother-in-law's food, and the issue was Mishum Delay Zichsala. Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman teaches us, Naktinan, what is the halacha? We're machmer both with Rav and Shmuel. That the halacha is Echad Eruv Tchumim, both by Eruv Tchumim, Vechad Eruv Chatzeres, and by Eruv Chatzeres, and Shtufim Mavas, and all types of Erevin, the halacha require us to be Mezaka, in all situations. So of course, many Rishonim, the Ritva, and many Rishonim make the point that we learned earlier in our Masechta, on the Avav of Mabez, that a Oysim Mechumri Beis Shammai or Mechumri Beis Hillel is considered a fool. The Pasuk says of him, the Gemara quoted the Pasuk Kehelas, that Ksil B'Hoy Shechaylech, and here we're taking both Chumras. So the Tvar says that when is it considered that somebody is a Ksil? If he takes two Chumras in the same question that are contradictory, you need to take an opinion, and take the opinion for its kulos, and take the opinion for its chumras. Whereas, when the two subjects are not connected to each other, as is the case in our Gemara, then the halacha is, you could take two chumras, and it's not a problem. We know that if Yontif comes out on Friday, the halacha is when Yontif, before we talk about Yontif on Friday, we talk Yontif during the week. So certainly, you're not allowed to prepare on Yontif for the weekdays. You're not allowed to even prepare for Yontif in the B'nai Chutz La'aretz for the one day Yontif, for the next day Yontif, which is understandable and acceptable and not a big problem. So, because if today is Yontif, tomorrow, it's a weekday or yontif, we'll cook tomorrow for tomorrow. The issue, however, comes up when yontif is on Friday, and we need to put up food for Shabbos on the day on which we may not cook. So the only way Chazal, as we're going to learn in Shem, Masechta Ervim, Masechta Pesachim, the way Chazal allowed us to be able to cook on Friday for Shabbos is by putting down an Erev Tevshilin. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, explains how does the Erev Tevshilin work. Rav is of the opinion the Midaraisa were not allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. However, you're not allowed to cook for the next day, you're allowed to cook for today. So the Rav introduces the concept of Hoyel v'Mikalei Orchim. Since if guests were to show up today, so the food that I was cooking today, Yontif, Friday, is for today, I'm allowed to cook, even though I don't have the guest, but they may show up. So that's why midaraisa, I'm allowed to cook. Chazal, whoever said, if I don't have the guest here, and just to cook on the outside chance that guest may come, I may not cook. When was that said? Only when Yontif is during the week. But when Yontif is on Friday, there Chazal said that I can rely on this hoyle that guest may come. But there's a very important point to make. The point to make is that we can only cook in the time that the food we're preparing would be edible still today for those guests that may show up. Rav Chesda is of a different opinion. Rav Chesda's opinion is the Midaraisa were really allowed to cook on Friday, Yontif, for Shabbos. Chazal, however, were machmer and said that we should put down an Erev Tashilin, that the Erev Tashilin will make it be noticeable that I'm not cooking for a different day, I'm only cooking for Shabbos. The other, Mandal Meravis, says that the purpose of the Erev Tashilin is to show that I'm cooking for today. I began cooking already for today. So now, we haven't spoken in Am Sechta about Erev Tevshilin. We've spoken about Eruv HaTzeres, Tupim Vos, Eruv Tchumim. But now we're going to speak about Erev Tevshilin. That, again, as the Rambam says, a different pshat, Chazal required that we put down an Erev Tevshilin, that people should realize that's only because it's Friday that we're allowing you to cook for Shabbos. Were it not Friday, we would not allow you to cook for Shabbos. So ask the Gemara, Boy Rav Nachman, Erev Tevshilin, Tzorch Lazakis, or in Tzorch Lazakis? You're going to have guests for Shabbos. For Shabbos Yontif, and it's Erev Yontif, it's Thursday, you're putting down the Erev Tevshilin. When you put down the Erev Tevshilin for people who aren't here, do you have to be mezaka it on behalf of them or not? Amar Rav Yosef Maitabaylei, what's the question? La Shmilai, Hod Amar Rav Nachman Ada, Amar Shmuel, have you not heard what Rav Nachman Ada taught us in the name of Shmuel? Erev Tevshilin, Tzorch Lazakis Lahen. We certainly, if we want somebody to be able to rely on the Erev Tevshilin, we have to be mezaka. Amalei Abaya, pshitad lo shmilei. Obviously, Rav Nachman had not heard what Shmuel taught. Di shmilei, had he heard what Shmuel taught, might tibahilei. Why would I have a question? Amalei, so Rav Yosef said, Ota Erev Tchumim, milei am Shmuel, ain't tzarech lezakis. Haven't we learned by Erev Tchumim, that Shmuel's opinion is that there's no point to do, that there's no need to do, be mezakit on behalf of the person who I'm putting it down, as we spoke about a few moments ago. V'yami Iyu and Rav Nachman, however, said that even by Erev Tchumim Tzarech Lazakis, and therefore, he says, I have the following question. Even though he heard the opinion of Shmuel, I'm not sure what is going to be the halacha by Erev Tevshilin. Says the Gemara, Hachashta, Bishlam Ahasam, by Erev Tchumim, we could understand why Rav Nachman would disagree with Shmuel. Because as we said earlier, the Pligi Rav Shmuel, this was a subject that Rav and Shmuel disagreed over. The Kamashmon and Rav Nachman wanted to teach us Kichum Demar, that he's taking both Chumris, both by Eruv Chatzeris and by Eruv Tchumim. Aval Hocha, by Eruv Tashilin, Isa, the Shmilei, if Rav Nachman indeed heard what Shmuel said, Me command the Palak. Is there anybody that disagrees with Shmuel? And therefore, there would be no reason to have a question, because there's nobody that disagrees with him. Since there's nobody that disagrees with him, certainly the halacha is like Shmuel. And therefore, the halacha is Tzarech L'Zakaslam. And this is a very important halacha, that if you're having guests that are coming to your home, and you want to make the Erev Tavshilin, Erev Yontav earlier in the day, which is commendable, otherwise you may Chas V'Shalom come to forget, and your guests haven't arrived yet, you should be mezaka the Erev Tavshilin for those guests through someone else. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to cook in your house. They wouldn't be able to light candles for Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Hu Terzini. We learned earlier in Amasechta that the halacha is that if there's a nochri in your chatzar and you want to be able to make a Eruv HaChatzeres, the nochri can't contribute to the Eruv HaChatzeres, but what we could do is rent the rishus from the nochri. So says the Gemara, Ha'ut Rezini, there was a person who was in the business of being a security guard, David B'Shevusad Reb Zeira, that lived in Reb Zeira's neighborhood, Amalei Oigolan Rishosach, and they asked him, could you rent us, lease us your Rishos, so that we should now be able to make an Eruv HaChatzeres? V'Layogolo, he refused. Oslo Kamei Reb Zeira, so they came to Reb Zeira with a question. What could they do? Amalei, and they asked him, Ma'ala Megim Adavisi, could they lease it from his wife? Amalehu, so Reb Zeira told him, Hachi Amar Rishlokesh Mishmei the Gavar Rabba, Rishlokesh taught us in the name of a Gavar Rabba, Omanu, who was that Gavar Rabba of Chanina? Ishta Shal Adam Areves Shalom Adatoi. And somebody's wife could contribute without his permission to the Reve Chatzeres, and just like she could contribute on his behalf, so too can she make, so too can the Ashes Nochri contribute on his behalf, can lease the property on his behalf. Because it's no different, as sort of Rishonim explained, than a Schir V'Lakitoi. Just like we learned that anybody who has access to the Nochri's property is a person who I can lease from, this is no different. In fact, the Rishonim point out that why does the Gemara bring a raya from the fact that my wife could contribute to the Eruv without me knowing? Why didn't the Gemara bring a raya from Schiroi Ulekitoi? And they give different reasons why using the example of a wife contributing to the Eruv is a better comparison. And the Mishnah Berurah explains why indeed could a wife contribute to the lease even without her husband's permission. The reason is because Ishta Kegufay. And this is a very important point that we need to discuss. Here the Gemara is applying the concept of Ishta Kegufay in the case of the wife of an Akam. There's a tshuva, in the Shas Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, Chelek Aleph Simen Chof, where there's a Jew who unfortunately married a non-Jewish woman. But even though he married a non-Jewish woman, he acts in a religious way regarding all other halachas. So it comes Erev Pesach. It comes Pesach. Of course, there's a concern of chametz shel Erev Pesach. The question is, if there's chametz that belongs to her, or if somebody were to sell their chametz and they need someone to sell the chametz to, do we sell, and they sold it to this woman who's married to a Jewish man, is there a problem? Or is there no problem? Because she, at the end of the day, is not Jewish. So the Shvus Yaakov says that, and it's very much based on our Gemara, that the concept of Masha Kansa'isha Kanabala, which is a very important halachic principle, applies not just when a Jew is married to a Jewish woman, but even when a Jew is not married to a Jewish woman, the halacha of Masha Kansa'isha Kana Bala. Moreover, that the fact that we see that they're married together, even though he doesn't want to have any Hanor from this Chametz, because he doesn't want to have Hanor from Chametz and Pesach, the halacha is that we have a problem. Moreover, the Har Tzvi says that, let's say it's not his chametz, but we spoke about now about the chametz that he owns, but he gave to his wife. So that we say mashikon to isur kanabala. What about the halacha in a case where she, people sold their chametz to her? Still, if he is satisfied with that sale, the fact that he's satisfied with that sale means that he wants that chametz to be here. And since he's here, since it's here, he wants it to be, that would be an issue. Moreover, I saw the Paiskim point out, here we're learning ishta shalada ma'arveves shaloi medata, that you don't need to have her, she could contribute to the Erev even without his consent. What is going to be, is this halacha strictly about the wife, or is it any family member? Tosfos, the Ramaskal Rogel and the Rosh say that this halacha only applies to a wife. However, the Ritva says that it's not only a wife, because very much in the, it applies to every family member. The Shulchan Aruch and Simen Shin Sam Zayin Sif Aleph paskins like Tosfos and the Rosh that this special kula only applies by a wife. And again, the reason is, as we just explained, because Ishta Kegufay. Then, what's going to be the halacha? Our Gemara says that the wife could contribute to Erev Shloim Medatoi. What's going to be the halacha if the wife is expressly saying, the husband, I'm sorry, is expressly saying, I'm not agreeable, I don't want it. Is this halacha, will this halacha still apply or not? So the Rashba says, a very bechidish, the Rashba says that even in a case that the husband is protesting, it doesn't make a difference. Ishta shel adam ma'arevah shloim medatoi, the Erev would be considered a valid Erev. Continues the Gemara. Hahu Tarzina, again, there was a person who was a security guard. Davish Vusad Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oishia, that lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oishia. Amrilei, and they asked him, Ogla Rishusach, please lease us your property. He refused. Also came to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oishia. So they came to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oishia. Amrilei, and they asked him, Ma'al Megam Devisa, could we rent the lease the property from his wife? He didn't know the answer. Also came to Rav Masna, so they came to Rav Masna, and they asked him that question. He too, did not know the answer. Also came to Rabbi Yehuda, and then they came to Rabbi Yehuda, and Amalu, and he taught them, Hachem Shmuel, Ishta Shaladam Arevesh Shalom Medate. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Noshim Shirvu, if the women participate in the Ruvah Chatzeris, or in the Shtatfu, they participate in the Shtufim Mavos, Shloi Midas Baleim, without their husband's consent, the Loch is Ein Aruvin Erev, the Erev is not a valid Erev, Vein Shtufim Shituf, and the Shtufim Mavos is not a valid Shituf Mavos. So we see that they cannot contribute without the husband's permission. Answers the Gemara Lakasha. What Rav Chanina and Smul said that it's an issue is only the Osir. That means, in a case that there's only one door, there's only that this nochri has, or this situation with the wife, is there's one door, and if there won't be an eruvah chatzeris, there won't be a way to carry. So that's where Chazal was lenient. Hadalai asur, where there is no such concern, where there's another door through which an eruv chatzeris or shtufim mevaz could be made, and therefore we don't need this door to use for the Ruvah Chatzeris or Shtufim Mevaz, and I still could have a way to carry out, there we can't be lenient. That's one pshat, that's the pshat that Rashi learns. Another pshat that I saw is Rogel, is if they carry normally or don't normally carry. And says the Gemara, Hachanami Mstabra, that's the proper way to learn. Because if we're not going to learn that way, then Ken Kash the Shmuel the Shmuel. We would have a contradiction in the opinion of Shmuel. Dama Shmuel, Shmuel taught us, Ech b'nei mavi, shrogel shtatav b'nei mavi. If you have a person that's always accustomed to participate in the shtufim vos, v'loin shtatav, and this week he didn't participate. B'nei Mavi Nechnas Notech Beisai. The other members of the Mavi could go into his home. The Notlin Shitufim Imenu, they could take from his wife, Bal Karcha. What do we see from here? Rogalin, when can we rely on this leniency? Because he always carries through this Mavi. But Shein Rogal, if he doesn't normally carry through this Mavi, Loi, we can't rely on this leniency. So we see Shmaminah that when Shmuel said, Ishtei shel Adam, Marevish Loi Medata, it's only under these circumstances. So again, we explain that what's Pshat, Osar and Loi Osar, and we explained when there's another door, there's only one door or another door. The Rach, however, explains Osa differently. He says Osa means, going back to what we quoted from the Rashba, he says, when did Shmuel say that an Erev Shloim Medata is going to work? That's only in a case where the husband didn't say anything. But in a situation where the husband expressly said that he doesn't want this, that's when the halacha is that it wouldn't be satisfactory. Tosfos, as I said, the Rashba disagree. And they hold that even if the husband officially says he's not satisfied, it doesn't make a difference. Rogel, the way we explained Rogel, is the same way we explained Osar, that is there another door or not? The Rosh, however, has a different interpretation of Rogel. His interpretation of Rogel is if somebody usually contributes to the Erev, so Shmuel is saying that once a person has become accustomed to always contribute to the Erev, so his wife could continue to contribute on his behalf, even against his will. Even, and according to the Rosh, even if his non-participation will not disqualify the Erev, since he began to contribute to the Erev, he's forced to do so permanently. Why? Because once somebody, what's Pshat in the Rosh? This person is saying that I'm not satisfied. So the Rosh explains, because once a person has become accustomed to carrying at the chatzar, people become accustomed to carry there, they're always going to continue to do so. So therefore, because Chazal were so concerned that we shouldn't continue carrying in a place where we're not allowed to carry, so Chazal said, even though he's protesting, we could take the Erev from him, even against his will. Other circumstances are not the same. The Mordechai, however, has a different way of looking at this question. He says, if a person was accustomed to contribute to the Erev, the members of the Chatzar are permitted to forcibly enter his house and take food without anyone's consent. What the Gemara means to say, according to the Rosh, is a whole different pshat. What the Rosh is saying is that the Gemara is saying is that if we know that this person always contributed, I could assume that I could take his food and it's not considered that I'm stealing or doing something wrong, without, even though I didn't get his permission. Lema Masaile, that we could have a right to Shmuel. We learned in a Braisa, if somebody doesn't want to contribute to the Erev, we can to the Lechi and Kairos that we spoke about so many times from the beginning of the Masechta, we force him to do it. So again, we see that even though it's against his will, we could demand that it happen. Says the Gemara, you can't compare the two cases. Shani Hassam, the Lech of Mechitzis, without the Lech in Kaira, the Mavi is completely open. And therefore, the Lech in Kaira serve as a Shmira. So I'm not forcing him because of halachic considerations. I'm forcing him because I want to live in a protected property. Lishna Chrina, a different explanation is Bezdin Shani. There we're speaking about a Bezdin. A Bezdin, there's a halachic concept that a Bezdin has the right, Koifen Oisoi, in certain circumstances, Bezdin has the halachic right to force someone to do so. But that is limited to a Bezdin, not to anyone else. Itmar, so says the Gemara, Rechi Barashi Omer, Oisin Lech Yashera. As we've discussed so many times, that a sheira, which is an avodah zarah, is osa b'hanah, and since it's osa b'hanah, we can't benefit from it. But now the Gemara is saying we can make a lechi out of the Asher, which is Avodah Zarah, and it's also Be'anah. V'Rashim ben Lakish Amar Oysen Kair Asher. Not only can we make a lechi out of a Asher tree, but even a Kaira. Says the Gemara, Mandam a Kaira, if you hold it, you could use a Kaira out of Avodah Zarah, out of Asher, certainly Koshkein Lechi. Because if by Kaira, which we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, a Kaira has a required shear. And there's a concept that the Gemara many times throughout Shas applies when we speak about something that needs a shear and we construct it out of something which is osbano, chetusei mechta shuri. It doesn't really have an existence because you have to burn it. So that's why a Kaira, which has to have a shear, still you're saying we could use atzei asherah. So certainly a lechi, which doesn't have to have a shear, you could use atzei asherah. Why indeed, if the halacha is ksusei mechta shurei, can you use an asherah for kaira? So I saw that the Rishonim explain, the Ravid explains, the entire reason that there's a need to have a shear by a kaira is only because it should be a heker, a concept that we discussed quite extensively at the beginning of our Masechta. So since the entire purpose is only for a heker, so that's why Chazal said, that's why even though I have to have a shear, but the shear is not because it needs to have a certain dimension. On the other hand, Mandam Alechi, the Mandam says that Alechi I could use a shera, because Alechi doesn't have to have a shear. Ava Kaira, when we speak about a Kaira, the Alechi is you have to have a shear. Ketusei mechta shuri. So many Rishonim and Achronim ask the question. The halacha is that a lechi also has to have some sort of a shear. So why do we apply the concept of why are we quicker to apply the concept of chesusei mechta shurei by a kaira than we are by a lechi? A lechi has to be at least 10 tefachim tall. So there's a beautiful explanation from Chaim Briska. Chaim Briska explains that we learned, let's understand the Gemara, this is the way I think I understand what Reb Chaim means to say. Certainly, if the point of the Lechi and the Kaira are just to be there for a heker, the halacha is that certainly we would not apply Chesusei Mechta Shurei no matter what. When does become a consideration? Where we're saying a Kaira has to have a shear, and wherever you need a shear, we say ketsuse mechta shurei, and a lechi doesn't have to have a shear. To which Tosfos asks, as we just said, a lechi also has to have a shear, because a lechi has to be at least 10 tefachim tall. The answer to that question is, says Reb Chaim Brisker, that, again, if a lechi is there for a heker, it doesn't have to have a shear. What are we going to say? That why does a lechi have to have a shear? Because it creates a mechitza. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, when do we say that a lechi, what does it mean that a lechi makes a mechitza? Do we say that the lechi is halachically considered like a wall? Or of course, a lechi is certainly not considered a wall. Rather, the way to understand, explains Reb Chaim Brisker, is that to be considered a shus yachid, to be considered a place that's enclosed, it has to be enclosed. It doesn't have to have mechitzas. In other words, Reb Chaim Brisker is saying there's two different concepts. There's a concept of having a mechitza, there's a concept of having a wall, and there's a concept of being enclosed. When we say that a lechi is mishum mechitza, it's not that the lechi is a wall. A lechi is not a wall. What a lechi accomplishes is that the area within the lechi is considered enclosed. And therefore, it's not considered something that requires a shear, and we don't have the concern of chesusei mechta shurei. Our Mishnah continues to discuss when and how do we have to notify the members of the chatzar, of the mavui, that I'm taking food from them for the shtufim mevos for the ruvach hatzeres. So says the Mishnah, smat ha'oichel. We started with a certain amount of food for the ruvach hatzeres, shtufim mevos, and now we don't have, some of that food is not here anymore. Maisa mezaka. He could take more food from his own food to contribute for them to have for the Shtufim Vos for the Ruvach HaTzeres, and says the Mishnah, Ain't tzarich l'odia. Here he doesn't have to tell them again. Since they were once notified and they agreed, you don't have to go tell them again. The Taisun Lame, but there were people, new people came to the Schatzah, to the Smavui, Maisif, we have to add food, or Mazaka. Since these people never relied on this Erev, so now when I'm contributing food on their behalf, I have to be, like we learned in the previous year, I have to be Mazaka and Tzarech L'idea. Maisif and Mazaka, and I have to notify them if we're going to rely on the Erev Chatzeris. Kamishur, what is the amount of food you need for Shtufim Bavos? Bizman Shayim Merubim, when we have many people here, the amount is Mazen Shtei Sudas L'Kulam. We spoke about this extensively early in the Masechta. We have to put down enough food for two meals. That's enough for all of them. Bizman Shayim Merubim, we don't have so many people. We have to put down the amount, the amount of a dried fig for every person. Amar Rav Yosef, Madvar Mamurim, when is the halacha that the minimum amount you could use to create an Erev is the amount of a grogros for every person who's going to be relying on it, every family. But Tchilas Erev, when we are constructing the Erev. Abel B'shiyar Erev, when there was an Erev there and now it's being diminished, the amount is a kalshu. You could put down a kalshu and that will be enough. Lo Amru L'Arev, because the whole point is really, as we spoke earlier, shtufim vavos would be enough. But Chazal were concerned that even though we have a shtufim vavos, we should also have a ruvi chatzeris, that we shouldn't forget the concept of ruvi chatzeris. And therefore, since we're only doing it for that purpose, even a kol shehu would be enough. So our Mishnah taught us that if we started with the right amount of food, and now somehow it got diminished, even if I'm taking food from the Bnei Mavui, I don't have to let them know. It seems our Mishnah is teaching us, but let's say all of the food is not there, even though this was a Shtufim Vos, a Ruvich Hatzeris, that they all agreed to, now I would have to get their consent. Ask them, Ramai Iskinen, let's understand the Mishnah. Ilayim B'min Echad, that he's taking the same type of food that they used originally, my area in the smat. So why is the Mishnah's rule only apply when the food that we started with got diminished? I feel a color. Even if it completely is not here, nami, we shouldn't have to notify. They already agreed and consented to the Erev. They already agreed and consented to use this food of theirs for the Erev. Ella, it must be b'shnei minim. The food that they want to use now is not the food that they used originally to make the Erev. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, I feel in the smat, even if the food just got diminished, namiloi, I should not be able to use it without their permission. The Tanya, kolo oichel, if the food that was used for the Erev, if it's mimen echod, if I'm using the same type of food that I used originally, ain't tzarich l'odia, I don't have to notify my neighbors. Mishnei minim, but if it's two different types of food, tzarich l'odia. So how do we understand the Mishnah? Ibai Seima, so it says the Gemara, we could explain our Mishnah, it's talking about the same type of food, Menechad, Ibai Seima, or could be talking about Shnei Minim, two different types of food, explains the Gemara. Ibai Seima Menechad, our Mishnah is talking about, we're using the same type of food that we used originally. Or mine is smart. Why in the smart? The smart, that is completely gone. When can we be lenient? If there's some left. But if there's none left, then it's, and according to Ritva, it doesn't even have to be all. It could be most, it's not left. So to create, since it's all gone, so we want to create a new Erev. We want to create a new Erev, we have to get permission. Ibai say Mishnei Minim, V'kol Shani. There's a difference when it's completely gone or not. When it's two Minim, why do we have to notify them? It's when it's gone. But if it's not gone, even though it's a different min, I don't have to say. We learn further in the Mishnah, Taisa Lame, if there are more people come there, Maisa Mazaka. Amrav Shizbi, Amrav Chizda, Zois Ameris. From the din that we're learning in our Mishnah, Chalukan, we could see Chalukan al-Khaver al-Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the first time You don't have to notify them if I'm using my own food. The Tanya, Amar Bihuda, Mehmed Varma Murim, when is the halacha that I don't have to notify? Beiruvet Chumim. That I have to notify? Beiruvet Chumim. For as we explained previously, Erev Tchumim comes with it a downside. When I can walk on one side, I can't walk on the other side. Ava Beiruvet Chatzeris, says Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'arvin, Ladas B'Shan Ladas, I don't need to have their permission. So our Mishnah that seems to teach us, that teaches us that when we're placing an Erev, we need to get everybody's buy-in, even by Ruvich HaTzeris, is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, obviously, Pshita the Chalukin. Answers the Gemara, Ma'ad Taima, Hani Mili, when was this said? B'chitzor ben Shnei Mavaz. When you have a Chatzor between two Mavaz, and we don't know in which direction to place, where do I want to go? Which mavi do I want to go? Ava chatzah shal mavi yachid, when there's only one mavi, Amy loy, that even maybe the Tan of our Mishnah will agree, since it's only an advantage for me to have the shtufa mavaz, that halacha would be that even he would agree that you don't have to notify. Kamashma, that's what Rav Shizvi teaches us, that even when you have one case, you have to notify, unlike Rabbi Yehuda. We've learned what is the shear of the stupid voice. And we made a difference if there's merubin or meutin. So ask them what kama merubin. What if there are many people or not many people? Kama merubin. Amrav Yehuda Mishmul. Shmuel Nasa B'nai Adam. 18 people. Says the Mar. Shmuel Nasa. 18 V'suloi. Says the Mar. That's not pshat. Ema Mishmuel Nasa V'elech. If you have 18 or more people, that's considered merubin. Ask the Gemara, why do we specifically say 18? Answers the Gemara, Amar Yitzchak B'Reid Rav Yehuda, L'Dei Mefash Le'Mid Abba, I heard this from my father, Rav Yehuda, to teach us as follows. Kosh Yilam Mechalka L'Mozah Shtei Sudas B'Neim. If the amount of people that we have, and we have the amount for two meals, and we wouldn't have enough from those two meals, there wouldn't be enough food of a groigrus for one every person. That's when the loch is harem merubin, v'sagi b'mazon shtei sudas, putting down two sudas is enough. However, v'im loy, if there aren't that many people, heihem mu'utim ninu, then it's considered a situation mu'utim, and you have to put down a groigrus for every person. Vagav Urcha, Kamashmalan, and what is our Mishnah teaching us? The Shvei Shudas Havin, the what is the amount of Shtei Sudas, Shmanes Groigris, the amount of 18 Groigris. So that's why, if I have up to 18 people, everybody will end up with a Groigris. But if I have more than 18 people, then not every, and I divide it amongst all the people, not every person will get a share of a Groigris if I divide it evenly. And that's when the Mishnah says, the maximum amount that you have to put down is Mazon Shtei Sudas.